Well, good morning. I love to sing. I'm just going to tell you before we get started, I have been singing my heart out today. I hope I have enough voice for one more time. Thank you to the band for leading us. I couldn't help myself. I wasn't going to sing all out, but I just couldn't stop it. And I hope that you also felt that time of worship, just really preparing you to be in God's presence together. Usually when we begin a sermon, we begin with a prayer. And today, I want to ask you for your help with that prayer. How would you complete this sentence? Oh God, you are... Now, I actually want some words, so help me out. How would you complete that sentence?
Awesome.
Worthy. Amazing.
Gracious.
Did I hear wonderful? Okay, gracious. One more.
Mighty.
Great. Thank you so much. I want to invite you now if you join with me in prayer. Gracious God, we come into your presence. We gather here today because we know that you are worthy, that there is no one, there is nothing that is more awesome than you. In fact, we can't even find words to describe how awesome you are. You are wonderful beyond our imagination. You amaze us as you work in our lives and as we see you at work in this world. And God, you are mighty. You can do all things. And so we ask that in this time, as we gather together as your people, that you would speak to us, your servants, because we're listening. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A.W. Tozer said that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Think about that for a moment. What comes into your mind when you completed that sentence? What did you think of when I said, oh God, you are? And what does that say about you? We've been talking about prayer all month, about a lifetime of prayer, about prayer in difficult times, prayer seeking blessing. We've prayed for others, we've prayed for ourselves, we've prayed for our world. But we're ending this series with talking about prayer for God. And that might strike us as a little odd. We're used to praying for people who are sick. We pray for our loved ones. We ask God to bless our meals. We seek God's direction in our lives. We may even confess our sins before God. But did you ever think about praying for God? It may seem odd to us, but Jesus actually taught us to begin our prayers by praying for God. The Lord's Prayer, which we just said, starts with worship. We begin it by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Another way to say that is, Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. Jesus teaches us to begin prayer by focusing on God. This morning, the sermon is intentionally shorter than usual so that you don't just hear about praying for God, but that you will have the chance to offer God your prayers and your adoration as we gather together this morning. Admittedly, that's not natural for all of us, so God gave us some help. God always helps us out. Scripture includes a whole book that is dedicated for prayers for us to use. Psalms is a collection of poetic prayers. In Bible times, the Psalms were used in worship. They taught the people how to praise God. If there is one primary underlying assumption of the book of Psalms, it is the power of prayer. So I want to invite you to look with me at one of those Psalms, Psalm 136. It's called the Great Hallel. And Hallel actually means praise. It's connected to the word hallelujah, which we were just singing, which means praise Yahweh or praise God. It is a prayer of worship to God. The Jews would sing this psalm at the start of morning worship, and it's the traditional song that is included in the Passover meal remember that part about Passover because we're going to come back to it. But first, I want to ask you to take a closer look at this psalm. And to do that, I want to invite you, if you have a Bible with you, to open your Bible. But if you don't, if you have your phone, I want you to take a cue from Katie last week and open up the Bible app, go to More and then Events. You can follow along all of the scripture in the Bible app. When you get there, you will notice right away, it's hard to miss it, the repetition that's in this psalm. It is hard to miss. His love endures forever is stated 26 times. The psalmist repeats this phrase because we get it and then we forget it. We doubt it. We sit in our seats on Sunday morning and we say together, his love endures forever. But then Monday morning, kids wake up sick. Monday afternoon, we have an anxiety attack. Monday evening, a fight with our spouse. We hear about tragedies on the news. We can't sleep at night. We endure criticism. We experience failure. And we forget. His love endures forever. Well, the Jews didn't want to forget. So the Jews would start their worship, and the leader and the people would pray this psalm responsively. That's why we started this way today, say psalm responsively. And so I want to invite you to join with me in reading a bit more of Psalm 136. We're going to begin with verse 4. The words will be on the screen with for you to use. But will you join with me in saying this psalm, continuing with verse 4? Give thanks to him alone, who does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. His love endures forever. Who made the great lights. His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day. His love endures forever. And the moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. Over and over again, the people would pray, his love endures forever. And you know what? That changes you. Why do we need to gather together and worship every week? Because we're forgetful. Be honest, haven't you forgotten something that you know? Maybe the name of a family member, where you parked your car when you went to the grocery store, or the words to the Lord's Prayer. That's happened to me. We forget things that we really should know. And we forget that God's love endures forever. Worship reminds us of that, of who God is. Our life needs to be shaped by worship week after week because it is so easy to forget. But Psalm 136 isn't just repeating his love endures forever 26 times. Psalm 136 walks us through evidence that God's love endures forever. So look with me at how the psalm is structured. Beginning in verse 1, we read, give thanks to God because God is good. The fundamental reason that we praise God is that God is good. Good. First and foremost, we praise God for who God is, not what God has done. We may not always understand God's ways. We may have seasons when God seems distant or even silent. We may even become angry at God. But always, 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 God is good. Continuing in verses 2 and 3, we give thanks to God because God is sovereign. Sovereign means that God is large and in charge. God is the ultimate power. God is God of gods and Lord of lords. God's purposes will be accomplished. They will not be thwarted. They will not be delayed. God's love will not fail. Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. His love endures forever. Then in verses 4 to 9, we get a chunk in which the psalmist tells us, give thanks because God is creator. The world would not exist without the love of God. If you look at verse 5, it can literally be translated, to him who made the heavens with understanding. Everything just so. And then the largest chunk of the psalm, verses 10 to 24, we're told to give thanks to God because God is Savior. Despite the Israelites' repeated rebellion and idolatry, God continued to be faithful and to save them from destruction. Pharaoh came after defenseless Israel with a mighty army. Sion tried to stop the Israelites from passing through his country. Og was a giant. But God struck down these mighty kings. No power of this world can stand against the mighty arm and the outstretched arm of the Lord. Remember that, because history has taught us that. And then in verse 25, we give thanks because God is provider. Not just for God's chosen people, the Israelites, not even for just for people. Look at verse 25. God provides food for all flesh, all God's creatures. And then finally, in verse 26, give thanks because God is exalted. He remembered us in our low estate, but God is in heaven. Psalm 136 reminds us that the key to worship is humility, to remember who we are, where we are, and who God is, and where God is. When the Jews prayed this in worship, they were asking the God they knew to and served to be all these things among us. They aren't just fill in the blanks. They are reminders of who God is and who God wants to be in our lives. Good, sovereign, creator, provider, savior, exalted one. If you know your Old Testament, you may have noticed that this psalm helps us to pray the scriptures. It starts with creation in Genesis, moves to the rescue of the Israelites in Exodus, and then takes us through the story of the Israelites. This psalm provides a biblical history lesson for God's people. Remember that the world was created by God. Remember that you were saved by God, delivered from slavery and brought into a rich land. Remember that every day you are fed by God. Remember and celebrate these things so that you trust that God will continue to be faithful to you in the future. Because when we remember what God is like and what God has done, we don't just offer our praise to God, we claim these attributes of God. And we find that prayers for God provide unexpected strength for us. King Jehoshaphat knew the power of praying for God. You can read his story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, but let me just tell you what happens in this story. The Israelites were in big trouble. Three armies were about to attack them. And by military standards, they were doomed. But King Jehoshaphat remembered who God is. And he didn't just pray for the people to be saved. He prayed for God to show his character. He prayed for the sovereign God who rules in heaven, for the God who had saved them in the past. And claiming those attributes of God, he found strength in prayer. And then strengthened by his prayers for God, King Jehoshaphat took action. He didn't send out a SWAT team. He didn't send out his elite troops. Look at who he sent out. From 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, he appointed men to sing to the Lord. He wanted them to praise the Lord because of his glory and holiness. And they marched out in front of the army. He sent out worshipers to lead the army. That's who he sent out, that kind of person. Not a person from the army, but somebody who sang and led in worship. It is so counterintuitive that we laugh at the thought of fighting a mighty army with a person and a guitar, or a person and a piano, or a person and a microphone. No swords, no spears, just a song. And scripture even tells us what they sang. They sang the song they always sang at the start of worship, the song that they had sung so many times that they knew it by heart. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love continues forever. Their voices may have been quivering with fear, but these musicians, when they began to worship the way they always worshiped, something amazing happened. God began to fight the battle for the people, and God gave them a stunning victory. Worship is more powerful than we realize, especially when it's a part of the fabric of our lives. Why do we need to worship? Because we are all going to have battles to face. And when we are overwhelmed and don't know what to do next, when we need to know deep in our gut that his love endures forever. It needs to be so much a part of us that it comes out when we get squeezed. Can I be honest with you? That won't happen if other things have a higher priority and you only worship when you don't have something else to do on Sunday morning. But this psalm is also connected to an even more stunning victory than what King Jehoshaphat and the Israelites experienced. Psalm 136 is also the song sung during the Passover meal, remember? Which means that the night before Jesus died, when Jesus celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples, he said over and over again, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Now think about that. Those words echoed in Jesus' mind as he faced the darkest hours of his life. Words of worship gave him strength. Prayers for God are not just about giving God compliments. God doesn't ask for our prayers because God has a big ego. God teaches us to pray for God because worshiping God in our prayers invites God into our lives. It reminds us who God is, strengthens us, and prepares us to meet the challenges in our world. When you are shaking with fear, when you are weary to the bone, when you are confused, discouraged, crushed, overwhelmed, remember, his love endures forever, and pray those words. That's what the American slaves did. What was their response to brutality and cruelty? What did they do when they were beaten, when their children were sold and sent away? They sang to their God. And their worship gave them a hope that nothing could destroy and strength to keep going one more day. Prayers of adoration make such a difference. Last Saturday, I visited a Catholic church in Rochester, where my son Eric will be getting married next year, and I saw something extraordinary there. This church has committed to practicing Eucharistic adoration 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Now, I didn't know what Eucharistic adoration is. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But let me tell you, it's because the Catholics believe that the literal presence of Christ is in the Eucharist, the communion elements. They have a small chapel, and there are people who come into this chapel to offer prayers of adoration to Christ in the presence of the sacrament. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, people are coming into that church and praying prayers of adoration to Jesus Christ. In a day when so many churches are struggling, so many churches are closing, is it surprising that this church is thriving? And one of their biggest problems is where to park all of the people who come to Mass. Praying to God changes us. It changes things. When the news has yet another shooting, when your stomach hurts because you're worried about your child, when you don't think there's any hope for your marriage to survive, when someone you love is far away from God and bitterly angry with you, lift up your heart and worship. It makes a difference to have a habit of worshiping in your prayers, of knowing by heart that God is good, that God is sovereign, that God is provider, and that God's love endures forever. Just as Jehoshaphat and Jesus and the American slaves chose to offer prayers of worship to God, even in the most difficult circumstances, may each of us say, "So will I." Amen.